It's Friday. It's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
It's a KABC Friday night special with special guest host Fritz Coleman.
My fellow Americans, it's the KABC Friday night special on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm Fritz Coleman from NBC4 and could not be more stoked to do this. Hosting on this radio station has been a bucket list item of mine for years. So many iconic personalities, dispensers of information and personality have come from these studios, and I'm telling you, I've been looking forward to this for a long time. And I see the small space given to people in here, and I wonder how they get Doug McIntyre's brain in here every morning. But I'm happy to occupy the space, and I feel his essence, and I smell Jillian's fragrance in here right now. I'm so happy to be with you. First of all, I'll tell you to call us. We have lots of my friends that we're going to talk with, including Bill Patzert first, and then Conan Nolan, the Ayatollah of politics. And we have our consumer expert, Randy Mack, who's going to talk about a way that may make your lives better. But anyway, I'll give out the number because we're going to take your calls. 800-222-5222. I don't know that much about anything, but the people I have on know a lot about everything, and you need to call them, particularly in their area of expertise. So 800-222-5222. Right now, my good friend, the go-to man, the man that made El Nino a science. He's a satellite oceanographer. He's a climatologist. He's been at JPL since rockets were diesel-powered. And I'm happy to say he's my friend. We always interview them when there are things like El Nino lurking in the atmosphere. Bill Patzert. Bill, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, Fritz, I'm stoked. You're one of my heroes.
You're my hero, my friend, because you're the only guy that understands El Nino. You know, you're over there at JPL in your offices, and it's dark. There are a lot of neon lights in there, but it's dark. And you do wonderful work. And you really did, I'm not exaggerating, make El Nino a science. And it's been a legendary thing for 400 or 500 years. The Peruvian fishermen talked about it, but you made it a science, and you made it something that affected our lives. So before I yell at you for having misrepresented what El Nino was going to do this year, why don't you explain to people exactly what El Nino is?
Okay, Fritz. Well, you know, we have big forces in the climate system, and one of the biggest is the El Nino, which is often followed by a La Nina. And that's when the tropical Pacific during El Nino gets unusually warm. It's a tremendous redistribution of heat out of the western Pacific into the eastern Pacific. And of course, this has a tremendous impact on the jet streams, which deliver weather all over the planet. And so what was wet usually turns dry, and vice versa. And so these impacts not only have big meteorological impacts, but they have big economic impacts as well. So,
And the thing about it is, I don't want to get too far into the weeds with the science on the radio because I don't have a PowerPoint presentation to follow along with you. But I do want to ask you this. And you have probably had to answer more questions about this than I have, but we did experience an El Nino, and it was a beneficial El Nino for everywhere other than Southern California. We filled the reservoirs, we got a snowpack, right? So people are sort of misperceiving what happened.
Yeah, well, I sort of put my foot in my mouth is that usually about 80% of the time when you have a monster El Nino, we get a good soaking here in Southern California. But this El Nino was so large, it sent all the storms farther north and farther south and sort of left us high and dry here. And so I almost had to go into a witness protection program.
Well, you said it was the Godzilla of El Ninos, and it turned out to be the gecko of El Ninos.
Well, it was the Godzilla. It was early. It lasted longer than previous El Ninos, and it was larger. It's just the impacts here in Southern California. But in Texas, it was definitely a Godzilla, as well as the Pacific Northwest. But you're right. Here in L.A., it was a gecko.
But truthfully, it benefited who we needed it to benefit. For instance, the snowpack was 100%. We hadn't seen that in 4 or 5 years. The reservoirs, Shasta, all the reservoirs in the northern and central part of the state, the Intermountain West, did very, very well. And honestly, we have to remember, we borrow our water from people down here at the Colorado River Valley. So we did benefit from it. We just didn't make our lawns any greener.
Well, you know, we've been in a very long drought, something larger than El Nino. The last 5 years have been the driest 5 consecutive years in the historical record. So normally, over a 5-year period, we would expect about 75 inches in L.A. We only got half of that. And so this disappointing El Nino really put the nail in the coffin. So we're headed right now into our 6th year of drought, which is definitely an insult.
And I know you and other meteorologists over the last several weeks have softened your forecast about what usually follows an El Nino, which is a La Nina, which instead of delivering us more, theoretically delivering us more rain than we should get, we have a cooler and drier winter. Now the forecasters, the long-term folks, have softened their forecast about that, meaning which actually could turn out in a left-handed way to benefit us, because if we don't have less than normal, we may have normal rain, which is 15 inches a year in L.A., and that may be awesome if that happens this winter.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Of course, often after El Nino, you have the cool sibling where the waters turn very cool in the eastern Pacific, but La Nina is a no-show this year, so what we're looking at is a La Nada, nothing, you know? And so it kind of opens the door, perhaps, to some nice cutoff lows out of the North Pacific, or what really supplies about 50% of our water supply locally in Southern California are what we call atmospheric rivers, which come as like a water hose out of the tropics. You know, everybody thinks of El Nino as the great wet hope, bailing us out of the drought. But in actual fact, wet El Ninos are so infrequent, they only supply about 12% of our water supply. These North Pacific storms and atmospheric rivers that supply about 70% of our local water. And, of course, that's when you finally earn your money, Fritz, when you have to forecast a cutoff low.
I know, as a weatherman's woe, as Dr. George used to say. So the two big elements that have consumed our lives as forecasters have been El Nino and now the drought. And you just went the other day, I know, because we had a representative there, to this new drought symposium. What's the latest on the drought?
Well, the drought's punishing here. As I mentioned, we're going into our 6th year of drought. In actual fact, the drought really began about 16 years ago. And so we've averaged, except for a couple of dry years, a very dry 16 years. And, you know, my drought gauge is the lake level at Lake Mead on the Colorado there.
Right.
And right now, Lake Mead has never been this low since we began filling it. It's only at about 30% of its capacity, 37%. And, you know, that's punishingly low. So, it's more than 5 years. It's more like 16 years. And so, Fritz, I got a big question for you here. When are we going to get some rain?
Well, thank you. If I knew that, I'd be in a higher tax bracket than I am now.
Yeah, well, the answer is eventually.
Yeah, I'll make just one comment and see what your opinion is, and then we'll take some calls, Bill, because lots of people are interested in what you have to say. But I think, whether or not the drought continues, I think the politics of water is going to be the next big political standoff. The fight over water will be what the fight over oil is right now, as it becomes more of an issue, not only for us, but around the planet, fresh water, and especially in third world nations when they don't have access that we do. We have to figure out this water situation before it becomes a real political issue and affects people's lives in more adverse ways than it is already.
Well, the critical element of all great civilizations, the limiting factor, is always water when you look back in history. And here in the American West, you know, in California, we import anywhere between 50 to 70% of our water from Northern California or the Colorado. But when you look across the state of California, 90% of water is used by the farmers. they get 90% of the water. And, of course, agriculture is only 2% of the state's economy. And so the big battle of the future will be a more equal allocation of water in the state of California.
You're right, and I just want to remind folks, this is really one of the great partners in what we do, climatologist Bill Patzert. How many years have you been with JPL, Bill?
I've been here 34 years.
Wow.
I was a mere babe when I started, Fritz. Yeah.
And do you do forecasts for Earth or other planets as well?
Well, of course, JPL, we send spacecraft all over the solar system and really beyond. We're very interested in Mars.
Is there a marine layer on Mars, Bill?
There is, actually. They do have, it's more like a dust layer. They have great windstorms on Mars, and, of course, they have a tremendous gradient of temperature from extremely frigid at the poles to more than 300 degrees at the equator. And so there's some fascinating meteorology on Mars.
Hey, this is a great opportunity for you to ask one of the experts of El Nino and many things atmospheric, Bill Patzert of JPL. Call us at 1-800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. He would love to answer your questions. Or if you have any domestic issues, I'd be happy to answer your questions as well. Bill, what do you say? And I find it hard to believe in this day and age when 95% of science is on the train for climate change, that there are still doubters. What do you say to these people?
Well, you know, some people say global warming is a rumor or some sort of a liberal conspiracy. But, you know, it is a scientific fact. And we're living in a warmer world. The great ice sheets are melting. And, of course, the unequivocal proof of global warming is that sea levels are rising. And, of course, the practical answer to why all those surfers think that the beaches are shrinking is because they're good scientists.
Wow. That's so interesting. Do you think that climate change affected the personality of this El Nino we just had and sort of blindsided us?
Well, that's a really great question, Fritz. I really don't know the answer at this point. But I think it's clear, you know, since the industrial age, the mid-19th century, the average temperature of the planet has increased more than 2 degrees Fahrenheit, and that's a lot. And sea level has risen more than 8 inches, and some scientists think that extreme weather is now being affected, you know, in a warmer atmosphere. It contains more moisture in a warmer atmosphere, and so we might be having more severe, for instance, hurricanes. And, of course, flooding might be more extreme. But, you know, this is a hot topic of research.
I know it. And I'll tell you, there's so much evidence. It goes back to the Al Gore movie when you saw these time-lapse photographs of Greenland melting. You see in some of the island nations in Indonesia the rise of the sea level. I mean, it's almost irrefutable at this point. And we saw things like Superstorm Sandy and the effect that had, making it all the way into the Bowery with these sea levels. I mean, you just a clear-thinking person can't possibly deny the reality of that.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people that have a vested interest in continuing our addiction to fossil fuels. And so, you know, they're holding on by their fingernails and funding global warming deniers. But, you know, it is a scientific fact now. There is no doubt about it. And as you pointed out, clear-thinking people are definitely on board, not only here in the United States, but in most of the industrialized countries of the world.
Well, listen, we've got to wrap this up. It went way too fast. Some other time you and I will talk, because I want to talk about desalination and how it's successful in some parts of the world. We haven't been able to flip it yet. I want to thank you just for being a great friend in always helping me when we had questions about El Nino and tried to deliver clear, easily understood information to the viewing public. You were always there. You never turned us down. And you're a great resource in Southern California, in particular to JPL. I appreciate what you do, my friend.
And I want to compliment you, Fritz. Every evening you get up there and you do a tremendous job communicating the weather. I only wish you would forecast more rain.
I'm working on that. If I can figure out how to do that, we'll do it. We do have catastrophic drizzle coming next Wednesday. I do know that. Bill Patrick, have a great weekend. You're the best. Thanks for talking to me tonight. You're my first guest, and you were so easy. What a pleasure.
Okay, it's a pleasure, and you're a good buddy, Fritz.
All right, my friends. Thank you. This is KABC Friday Night Special on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm Fritz Coleman from NBC4.
The Friday Night Special with Fritz Coleman.
Although in this light I look as tan as he is. Anyway, welcome back. It's the KABC Friday Night Special on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm happy I'm here tonight. I'm Fritz Coleman from NBC4. We're just an appreciative broadcast partner of KABC. Our 6 o'clock news simulcast on the station, and we just love our partnership, and it's given me this great opportunity. Honestly, this is a bucket list item for me to come and talk to people you can't see. It's a great form of intimacy. I'm having a great time. I do want to tell you, in the interest of shameless self-promotion, if you care to come and see my new show, my monologue, I do monologues, as you know, I have a new one at the El Portal Theater that's going to be on October 9th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's called Defying Gravity. It's about people of a certain age. If you have hit the age of 50, if you have eclipsed the age of 50, if you plan sometime on being 50, you need to come and see this show. It's like a baby boomer support group. El Portal Theater, North Hollywood, October 9th at 2 o'clock. It's at 2 o'clock. It's a matinee, so old people can be home by dark. So come and see the show. Check out the website. You'll just love it. And I would love for you to be there. I am so happy to have another great friend of mine. This gentleman is one of the last of a dying breed. In the news business now, most reporters do what's called general assignment. That is, you come in the morning, you wear a suit, and you don't know what you're going to do. You could be covering a freeway chase. You could be covering politics, but he's a specialist. If there is a political story, if there is a convention, this is the man that knows. There is no more knowledgeable reporter covering the political beat in Southern California than Conan Nolan. He's been doing it for so many years, over 30 years. He's hosted one of the iconic political talk shows in town called News Conference, and he's been doing it for 20, 30 years. His first guest was Millard Fillmore. Believe it or not. He's my good friend, Conan Nolan. Conan, so happy to have you on with me tonight.
It's a delight to be here. And I should point out, I've been to one of your shows. It's a great evening for those folks out there listening. If you haven't seen Fritz Coleman perform, you're missing out. This is a absolutely wonderful event. And if you can take the time, believe me, you will not regret it.
God bless you. So it's the first debate on Monday night, Conan. First of all, honestly, I don't care what your politics are. Is this the most incredible period of time to be in a field that you're interested in? I mean, you may never see anything like this again.
It is, but I have to tell you that it's also in one of those realms of being things are somewhat dyslexic. And I think the Hillary Clinton campaign will tell you that they know that more than anybody. This is a campaign, the Donald Trump campaign, that is so different. It's so outside the box. It is so unconventional that we have no idea what's going to happen on Monday, which is one of the reasons why we're expecting Super Bowl numbers.
Yeah.
And this may be one of the most important political events we've seen in the modern era.
And exactly what you said. It doesn't matter what the outcome of this election is. The game has changed. The civility bar has been lowered. The areas that you can wander into in your personal life, the attacks that you can forward, it's all different from this point forward, isn't it?
It certainly is. I have to tell you, and Donald Trump is somebody who's violated just about every fundamental rule of a political campaign at the highest level of politics, and yet look where he is. And I just we kind of wonder. This election, let's talk about Monday. He's going to be on a debate stage with Hillary Clinton. This will be unlike anything he's done before, because in the previous debates there have been more than one candidate. And there have been times when there was a slew of Republican candidates where he's able to step back and let them argue amongst each other. He's going to be on the spot for the entire debate. At the same time, the Hillary Clinton campaign, what I've been told, is that they've had three different foils for her, people pretending to be Donald Trump, because they're not sure which one's going to show up. They don't know if the presidential Trump's going to show up, or the one who makes jokes about the candidate, or makes sound effects. They're not sure, and they've got to be very concerned about what's going to happen based on what they've seen in previous debates, where he has, he's trumped all expectations, so to speak.
Before we take a break, I just want to say that it just seems to me that it doesn't matter what happens on Monday night. It won't affect him. His base is so hardened and grizzled, and he can't do anything to anger these people or to sway them to the other direction.
True. And keep in mind, as the Washington Post pointed out, that of the candidates that Donald Trump is facing, he probably would be trounced by anybody but other than Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton, in the same token, probably would not be able to beat any Republican unless it was Donald Trump. So, yes. Everybody has written this off. They said once he would get the nomination, there's no chance he would win any of the battleground states that will decide this election, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, Florida. But he's competing in almost all of them.
Yeah,
and as a result, he's got plenty of people on the Democratic side worried. And the news media work, it's a conundrum.
Okay. Hang tight. We just have to take a break here. I'm going way over. We're starting to move into someone else's radio show here. But I want you to continue that thought. Please call us. Please ask Conan a question. No one is more well-read and experienced in the area of politics. Maybe there's something that's been throbbing in your consciousness for a long time. Here's a great chance to ask Conan Nolan. 1-800-222-5222. I'm Fritz Coleman. This is KABC Friday Night Special on... Hi, everybody. So happy to have this opportunity to talk to you tonight, the KABC Friday Night Special on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Please call us. Ask Conan Nolan a question. I just walk by and we don't even stop. And a brief salutation, you learn something with him walking around the television station. 1-800-222-5222. Conan, before we finish your thoughts about the debate, let's do some breaking political news. What about Ted Cruz endorsing Trump? Could you see that coming?
Well, yeah, I thought that would eventually happen. I have to tell you, we were in the convention hall when he gave his speech at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, and I'm listening to it, and he's talking about the importance of defeating Hillary Clinton, the importance of rallying the party base, the importance of a Supreme Court, and I'm thinking, okay, he's right around now. He's going to say the importance of electing Donald Trump, and then when he says the importance of you voting your conscience, and the whole convention hall goes bananas because they were expecting an endorsement and they didn't get it, and so I think
yeah, and
Ted
then a
Cruz,
lot of people from both political parties thought that took a lot of guts, and sort of in a dark way, I had more respect for him. After he did that, I thought, well, there's a guy standing on his own 2 feet, and then this. It's just odd.
Yeah, true. Well, I tell you, Sheldon Adelson, who's the owner of the a number of the resorts in Las Vegas, not the Bellagio, but one of them. I'm trying to remember exactly, but in any case, he's a big donor to the Republican Party. He had a suite at the Republican convention, and he had told Ted Cruz to drop by the suite after his speech, and after he refused to endorse Trump, when Cruz went up to that suite, he was told by security, you are not allowed in here because everybody is so outraged that you didn't endorse him. So I agree, it took a lot of guts. Still, however, he believes he has a political future, and it's going to be tough if you want to win the Republican nomination for president 4 years from now, assuming that Donald Trump doesn't win, to say that you did not support the party's nominee. Not only that, you had made a pledge to support the party's nominee. So my guess is that's why you heard it on Facebook or read it on Facebook, as opposed to him holding a news conference or anything like that. Ted Cruz is looking for out for Ted Cruz. Down the line, this is a calculation as to what he needs to do in order to have a political career down the road.
Conan, we're going to the phones. Carlos in Whittier, you're on the air with Conan Nolan. Carlos, welcome.
Yeah, hey, just wanted to find out a little bit more about it. How actually does that college electoral vote work?
How's the electoral college, how does that system work?
Well, a lot of people don't understand that on election day in the United States, there's not one election. There are 50 elections. Each state has an election. And in each of those states, the way the founding fathers did it, there was a number of things the founding fathers did in establishing the American system, one of which was designed to prevent what was called the tyranny of the majority, so that the big states didn't overrun the small states. So in any case, the way the Electoral College works is that in each state, you take the number of congressional districts, say in California, there are 53, the largest in the country. You take that number, you add the two U.S. senators from each state, which is two, so 55 out of California, and those are the electoral votes in that state. You run a race in every one of those states, and based on the number of electoral votes in each of those states, whoever comes to 270 wins the presidency. That's what the Electoral College is. So when you hear the term battleground state, it means that they already know where California is going to go. Based on the history of the state, based on the polls, we already know that there are enough Democrats in California that those 55 electoral votes are going to go for Hillary Clinton. Same for New York. We already know that Texas is going to vote for Republican. They always do. So you look at the states that are in play, where it's sort of 50-50, and those are the states that you need to win in order to get to that magic number, and that's who will win the presidency. And as you well know, Fritz, in 2000, that's a perfect example, the majority of voters in the United States voted for Al Gore, but in the Electoral College, George W. Bush won, because although he won a lot of votes in California, George Bush was able to win just a bare majority in some of those swing states that got him enough votes within the Electoral College to become president.
Okay, so forget the polls. Can Trump do the electoral vote? Can he get it that way?
It's tough. He needs to win at least one state that Mitt Romney lost in 2012. And although you see polls indicating that Donald Trump is becoming very competitive nationally, the polls to look at are in states like Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, Colorado, Florida. Keep in mind, no Republican has ever won the presidency without winning the state of Ohio, which is one of the reasons why we don't see him in California. We don't see a lot of ads. But if you're in Dayton, if you're in Tallahassee, if you're in Denver, you're seeing ads all the time for Hillary Clinton and for Donald Trump. That's where they're spending their money.
Yep. Are you surprised at how close the polls are?
Very surprised. And I'm not the only one, but I'll have to tell you, I think once this race is over, there's going to be a post-mortem on the news media, because there are plenty of people who now believe that we have lost. There's a disconnect between the people who report the news and the people who consume it. The Gallup poll most recently, as well as the Poynter Institute poll a month ago, say that for the first time since they've been polling people on this question, that less than a third of Americans have any kind of faith in the news media to tell the story properly. That's the worst polling numbers they've ever had.
Wow.
And so you start to see a disconnect between what we're reporting, what people are believing, and how that happened, that so many people just don't believe us anymore.
And to that point, there was an op-ed piece in the LA Times a couple of days ago that said, if Hillary loses, it's the media to blame. And he did the statistics of how many negative stories are about her compared to the sort of self-generated positive stories about Trump. And it seems like the media has inadvertently submarined her sort of public aura. And he blamed the media for it. We have about 30 seconds left, my friend. Go ahead.
I don't believe that too much. I know, though, that there's a legitimate criticism that too much favorable coverage was given to Donald Trump at the beginning of the process during the Republican primary because he was so good for ratings. I don't think he's gotten a lot of easy afternoons with the news media since he's gotten the nomination. But I don't know. You know what? It's up to the voters, and they're the ones that are going to decide this. And that's and of course, it all depends on who shows up to vote. That's one of the reasons the polls are all over the place. We're not sure who's going to vote.
Please vote. And please watch Conan Nolan this Sunday morning news conference. Very quickly, who's on? We have to wrap this up.
Actually, we're on at 4:30 on Saturday, a special time because of the NBC Sports has taken our slot Sunday morning. We're having a debate on Prop 56. Which is the tobacco tax. You're seeing a lot of ads against it from the tobacco industry.
All right.
We're also talking to the LA Times reporter on the pension crisis in California. That's also down the road, but it's a big problem that taxpayers are going to be facing.
Nobody does it better, my friend. Thank you so much for being my guest tonight. You're the
best.
You're
very kind, Fred.
I'll see you around the office. Conan Nolan, our great political expert from Channel 4 News. And folks, it's the KABC Friday Night Special on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm Fritz Coleman. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
On 790 KABC.
Just the most fun I've had in a long time. KABC Friday Night Special, Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm Fritz Coleman from NBC4. Please call us. This is your last opportunity to address me personally. 1-800-222-5222. Well, I'm so happy to have this gentleman on, our consumer investigative reporter, Randy Mack. He hadn't been at the station that long, but the impact he has made has been unbelievable. Randy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Fritz. Thanks. I appreciate you saying the kind words about me, man.
I think that your services to the station sort of go beyond what you do, and that is that in a market the size of Los Angeles, people feel disconnected from the television station. We're like this ivory tower pontificating out these facts and figures every day, but people don't have a connection. But you reverse the process and draw people in by having their back, by solving the everyday problems, which is all life boils down to anyway, is just bulldozing your way through your everyday problems. And you do an amazing job. You've recuperated $1.4 million so far in your short tenure at NBC4. Pretty good.
Yeah, $1.4 million in just about 2 years. So it's kind of daunting when you say it that way, because there are so many stories that have been a part of that huge figure. It's really, at this point in my career, sort of refreshing to be able to have a reset and a restart with viewers and with journalism, in that I've grown to be able to be an advocate now for our viewers. And
they're trusting you know, and more every day. I want to get right, because time is so short, but I want to get right to this issue that I promise folks we talk about, which is a real issue, particularly for senior citizens who are so vulnerable to these phone scams, and that is the IRS phone scam. Kind of describe what's going on in that area.
What is happening is that there are people who have set up actual rooms and call centers, and they're just calling people randomly. Now, your information in terms of your phone number is very easily accessible. So if you have a house, you have an apartment, you have any kind of public account anywhere, it's pretty easy to go online, do a random search like you would if you were just picking up a phone book, and just call people randomly. What is happening, though, is that they are threatening, and their main part of their threat is IRS. And so what they want to do is they want to panic you into thinking that you owe them some money. They want to put you on the clock and say that the clock is ticking. We're going to come and arrest you maybe in the next 35, 40 minutes. We have a warrant. And they want to try to get you to commit to somehow sending them money electronically. And that's where they've got you, because once you've sent that money, it's gone. But the thing about it that you have to remember is that the IRS is never, ever going to call you. That is not how they do business. They're never going to call you up and say, you've got 45 minutes to give us
money. And that's true about most things of value. The police are not going to call you and ask you to donate that way. It's just not the way things work.
Well, and you know what, Fritz? Here's the thing. When you owe somebody money, it behooves them to try to work with you to get their money if they're truly owed money. So nobody wants to put people in a situation where they can't pay them back, like put you in jail or put a lien on your account or all this. They don't want to do that. They want to be paid back, so they're willing to work with you and negotiate. And that's why we try to tell people that when it's financial matters, almost everything is negotiable, especially if you owe a debt.
What do you think the single biggest mistake Americans make as consumers is?
Oh, gosh. I think thinking too quickly. I think being impulsive and not thinking through, because that's part of what gets people in trouble. I think that a lot of people are making hurried decisions or decisions when they don't really fully understand what they're signing or they haven't really read it. They're fatigued by the process of buying and consuming goods, and they don't take time to read the fine print on things that they're signing. And that's where you get into trouble. You need to read everything that you're going to be signing or at least be certain of what it is. Have them explain it to you if you can't read it. Have them bring in a translator, whatever you have to do, but make sure that you understand first what you're signing. If you don't, don't sign it, because once your signature's on it, that's an acknowledgement on your part. That's a contract in most cases, and it's binding.
And I
hold you to it.
You're absolutely right. And I think a weakness we have in the United States is financial literacy. Nobody in high school or in college sits young adults down and said, before you sign a mortgage, before you pay for a car on loan, before you take on credit card debt, this is what you need to know. Do we just wander into these waters totally ignorant of the realities that make us vulnerable? Don't you think that's true?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, this is one of my one criticisms of education in general, is that we get taught math, but we don't get taught finance. You know, and I think there's a huge difference. Because math, you know, I'm never going to use, you know, don't hate me math folks out there, but I'm never going to use Cramer's 3x3 in my regular everyday life. But I could use information on interest rates, you know,
yep.
But you don't get taught that in school. You get taught math. You get taught trig. You get taught calculus. You get taught all of these different languages of math that help you reason and think. But at the end of the day, if somebody was taught actually how to balance a checkbook, how far would that go if you started learning that process in the sixth grade,
yep.
seventh grade?
Well, we have about 45 seconds left, unfortunately. But I want to talk about stuff you're working on right now, if you're allowed to share with us some things that you're excited about.
Absolutely. We're working on several stories right now. One that's going to be coming up next week deals with a scam artist who has been caught by the Department of Insurance, by the state, defrauding and committing frauds and embezzlement on people who are fire victims. So this plays right in with you too, Fritz. You know the risk that is still out there for fire danger. There are going to be people who may wind up losing their homes, and there are some shady characters operating out there.
You be sure to watch Randy do his work at 4 and 6 o'clock on NBC4. You're a great addition to the station. Thanks for talking tonight, my friend.
Thanks, Fritz.